garments, so that they laid there, no longer being supported by a body. No doubt they probably crumpled down, maybe somewhat hardened from the dried blood, so that when you looked at that, you knew he was not there, but you knew that there was no way possible someone unwrapped him and then wrapped him back up. The burial cloths themselves were a testimony to the resurrection of Christ. And it says that Jesus, he got up and he took the napkin that was wrapped around his head and he folded it up and he placed it where he was at. Which actually convicts me, because I think, you know, Jesus was a neat and tidy person. And he walked right through the walls. He rose the first day of the week. The second event that took place was the angel of the Lord descended and removed the stone. Not so that Jesus could get out, but so that we could see in that he was alive. And there was a great earthquake. No doubt shook, felt the tremors throughout the city. And the angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I'd like for you to turn 265. Let's sing the first stanza of Christ Arose.
For his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
It was dark. Women had gathered with spices so that they could come early to the tomb, because Jesus had been buried so quickly that he had not been honored properly and he was going to stink. And they wanted something there to honor him as a last act of devotion. We know that there was at least five women. Three are named, and they're also said, and others with them. So maybe five, six, seven, who knows how many came. They wondered as they went who would roll the stone away, but that did not hinder them. They came on anyway. They were impelled to go. When they come, they see that the stone is rolled away. They walk inside the tomb, and they do not see the angels sitting on the tomb. They do not see the keepers around. When they arrive, everyone is gone, and they see nothing. At this point, to harmonize it with John, Mary Magdalene realized something is wrong, and she takes off and runs to find the disciples. While the women are still in the tomb, all of a sudden, within the darkness, a man appears to them, and he's sitting right there. So it seems like Jesus was elevated. When there wasn't just laid on the ground, he was able to be up high enough so that when they were actually where Jesus was laying, he was sitting beside it on the right side, the Bible says. And then there were two men who stood beside them. And you can imagine, I mean, if you walk into a tomb, or if you're in the presence of someone who's dead, there's a little bit of nervous. All of a sudden, their garments are shining. Something about this, probably casting light about the, and they are terrified. When you put the Gospels together, it says that they assure them, don't be afraid. And they ask them questions like, Why are you seeking the living among the dead? They also tell them, he says, we know that you're here to seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. They remind them that Jesus had actually prophesied of the death and resurrection. They say, do you not remember what he said while he was yet in Galilee? And they even invite them to come forward and say, come, see the place where he lay. And then the angels tell them to go tell the disciples that he is risen and that he will lead them and go before them into Galilee. Turn to number 273. Christ the Lord is risen today. We'll sing the first stanza. Things get a little bit, even the gospel accounts diverge a little bit, so we have to put them together. The response of the women is that they were so afraid that they left the tomb and fled from the sepulchre. They trembled and were amazed, and Mark tells us that they did not say anything to any man. So we know that they were on their way to tell the disciples, according to Matthew. So what seems to be the best way to put that together is that there was an element of the complete shock, the complete terror of what they've seen, and now they're off, and they ran to get away, but after a little bit they began to realize, and their bewilderment began to say, this is real. This happened. We didn't hallucinate this, and we've got to go tell. And with great astonishment, now it was exchanged for confidence, and they depart quickly from the sepulchre aspect, and they are going to tell the disciples. How much time it took from when they were afraid to when they actually went, we're not sure, but the events that take place next have to happen. See, Mary Magdalene, she went off to find Peter and John, and she found them. And she told them, and what did she tell them? She says, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. She doesn't relay anything to them of the angels and their testimony. Seems like Mary Magdalene had not seen any of that at this point. So Peter and John run to the tomb, but do they find the women? No. So there had to have been some aspect of the distance that it took for her to run to get Peter and John. She finds them, and they run back. The scene that we've seen with the women has taken place, and they have left. We know from the story in John that John outruns Peter, being the younger man. And he comes, and the Bible says he stoops down. So anytime you see a sepulchre or a tomb of Jesus, if it's not low enough where someone has to stoop down to look into it, it's not exactly accurate. It's not something that was tall enough someone would walk in. It was probably very short, and you probably had to get down and get in. So he stoops down, he looks in, and the Bible says that when he saw the grave clothes, he believed. He understood the scriptures. and it started to hit on him, and he believed what God said. Peter ran and came, went right down in there. He went in and was looking around, and he left in absolute confusion after what had taken place. You know who left, came running back with them? Mary Magdalene. So Peter and John, they leave her, and she is left standing at the tomb. It's been worse that her Savior had been killed, but now they'd even desecrated the body. She began to weep and sob. Two angels were then seen sitting at the head and feet where Jesus lay. No doubt John and Peter did not see them. It did not appear to them. And they asked her, "Why are you weeping?" And she responds, "Because the body of her Lord was taken, and she does not know where it's at." And she turns back on them. Probably in the aspect of all the emotion, she's not caught up in the fact that these are angels. She just turns away from them, and there is someone standing in the garden. She thought that it must have been the gardener, and Jesus addressed her and asked why she wept and whom she sought. And she said, "Oh, if you would just tell me where the body is at, I would go and retrieve it myself. Just, you don't have to do anything. Just tell me where you've laid it." And he speaks one word to her. It was not the voice alone that Mary knew. It was Jesus speaking her name. He calls his sheep by their name. They hear his voice and they know him. John chapter 10. And so she recognizes Jesus. She runs forward and throws herself down at his feet in great aspect of homage. And he requests for her to stop clinging to him so that she would deliver an important message to the disciples. Let's go ahead and turn to number 269. I come to the garden. Let's sing the first and the third.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he was with me, and he talked with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, another has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of one, the voice of me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Mary is the first one to have seen the resurrected Christ. She runs to tell what she has now found. And she says that the Bible, when she found the disciples, they were mourning and weeping. no doubt a part of a three-day mourn. Their eyes, no doubt, were puffy and red of all the sadness and all the heartbreak that they had been through. And she brought with them great tidings. Jesus is alive. And it says that they did not believe her. While Mary's on the run to meet the disciples, Jesus now goes from Mary and he goes directly and appears to the women who were afraid before, but have now gotten their courage, and they're joyfully saying, "He is alive," and they see Jesus, according to Matthew, and they fall down at his feet and worship him, and he gives them the same command that the angels gave them in the tomb. And so the women go after they have seen, and not only do they tell them that he is not there at the tomb, but they're able to tell him that they're alive, that they have seen him. And they come to the 11 disciples, and it says, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So these events have taken place. Some point in the morning, some of the guards who have left bring word to the chief priest what had happened. And they came in, and the chief priest was like, "Oh no. What are we going to have to do?" So the ramifications are taking place throughout the morning. At some point, two people begin to walk on a journey on the road to Emmaus. We know that as they were talking, they were discussing what the women had seen. So they were there and had left after that took place. And a figure joins them and begins to discuss. And he is completely ignorant, has no idea of the things that have transpired in Jerusalem these last few days. And so they have to inform him because he has to ask them what is going on. But it is he who rebukes them and tells them that they are slow of heart to believe what the prophets have written, and begins to explain to them, beginning at Moses, all the way through the scriptures, how Jesus Christ, the Messiah, must have suffered. Their hearts burned within them as they walked along, and they saw the scriptures before their eyes coming alive. They go in and sit down to eat bread for the evening meal. And as they sit down, in the act of which Jesus did at the Last Supper, he broke the bread, and God just opened their eyes, and they recognized, this is Jesus. And in that moment, he disappeared from them. And they, all that what took them probably several hours to walk, they ran. And we're talking about Jerusalem's uphill. So they walk downhill several hours. They run and puff all the way back up to the disciples. When they get there, they find out that in the meantime, Jesus had appeared to Peter alone. I wonder why Jesus appeared to Peter. I'm sure Peter would have felt so unworthy. And what a moment of restoration that is completely kept silent to us outside of knowing that it took place. It says that the two from Emmaus, they bring word, and when they arrive, they find out there's a stir amongst them, that the Lord, they have just found out that Peter's telling them he had appeared to them. And they told the disciples how they had appeared. And the disciples as a whole, it says, did not believe them. After all this, they're not believing them. And then they had the door shut, and they were all in the room together where Jesus had the upper room, and they were there because of fear. The doors were locked. The Jews and what they might do to anyone still professing, and after their triumph over Jesus, their disciples were certainly as good as dead if they stood up and defied them. And Jesus appeared to them in the room, the doors never being opened. He came in and he said, "Peace be unto you." They were terrified. They thought it was a spirit, an apparition there. He rebuked them for their hardness of heart and for their unbelief. He showed them his hands and his side. He said, bring me some food. And he ate a little fish so they could understand. And finally, joy started to pervade the room. And he said again to them, peace be unto you. And he explained to them how the scriptures taught that he must die and rise again. And he opened their understanding. And he commissioned them to preach the gospel to every creature and told them that they must wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in their presence, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to number 46. Not traditionally a resurrection song, but it sings a wonderful verse, the third stanza, about the glory of the resurrection. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the stripe, for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Those who had tried to silence him before the resurrection tried to silence the truth of him after the resurrection. And during that day, the chief priests bribed the guards to lie. Men of truth, men of the book, bribing others to lie, showing that they were enemies to God. And so the events took place on the first day. I'll give you a few events that took place later. 7 days later, on the very day of the resurrection Sunday, 1 week later, Jesus again came to Thomas and appeared to him, because he said, unless I put my hands in the nail holes and thrust my hand in the side, I will not believe. And he believed and confessed Jesus, as we all must, my Lord and my God. After that, Jesus wasn't seen for a time. And Peter says, I go a fishing. And the other disciples said, let's go with him. And so they go up and they're on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus comes on the shore and appears to them for the third time. The group of disciples there, and they come and eat a morning breakfast with him from fish that he had cooked for them. It is in Galilee that he calls them up into a mountain, and he gives what we have in Matthew 28 as the Great Commission. We know that he would also appear to his half-brother James and to all the apostles, and would be seen of over 500 people at one time in Jerusalem. He gave many infallible proofs of his being alive and commanded them again how they must stay in Jerusalem to receive what he had promised them at the beginning of his ministry, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then after 40 days, he ascended up before them while he was in Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And he went up before them, and the angel said, as you have seen him go, in like manner he will return again. Stephen would go as the first martyr to his death before the very Sanhedrin that had condemned Jesus. And in the moment that they are gathering rocks to stone him, he sees the resurrected Christ standing at the right hand of God, ready to receive him. And then, on the road to Damascus, the most fierce persecutor of the church saw the resurrected Lord, and he called upon him as Lord and said, what must I do? And he showed him how he must suffer great things And actually, the Lord would appear to Paul several times and indicating the great aspect of what it means to see the risen Lord. And someday you and I will see Him. It is to recognize Him as the Lord. Let's turn to 187. I'm going to sing two closing songs. 187. We're just going to sing the first stanza of He is Lord.
He is Lord.
By turning back to 265. We'll sing the final stanza, Death Cannot Keep His Breath.
Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior.